Roberto, a patron, wrote in and asked us for advice regarding whether or not she should marry her ex-husband for the third time.
The same person?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I thought we would read her email and provide some perspective. What do you say?
Yeah, that's fascinating. I can't wait.
This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I am a professor and a therapist.
My name is Humberto Castañeda, and I marry people for the third time.
Patron wrote in, and she says, "Hi, Dr. Kirk. When I was 19, I got married. At the time, my husband was 27. We were married for the first time for 12 years. We had two children. Then we got divorced and remarried again 2 years later. Unfortunately, that second marriage only lasted 16 months. Then we got divorced again, and that was a few years ago. He was an excellent husband, provider, partner, and father. He still is a good father. When we were married, I never felt like I was my own person, though. I always felt like I wasn't good enough and I wasn't needed by him. Now I feel like I just wasn't grown up enough for him and I needed room to grow. I had a mother who was neglectful and abusive growing up. I am a great mother, though, and I took the opposite road from my own mother. I just couldn't hold on to my marriage. I just couldn't hold it together. The thing is, our children are grown now. Both are in college. We now have a great co-parent relationship, even though we're divorced. We recently started texting and we met for coffee. I went to tell him how sorry I am for my part in our relationship. I've grown up now and I have such a bigger appreciation for what we had back then. I'm still in love with him. He hasn't remarried, and I think he may feel the same way about me. Is this something I should leave alone, or should I tell him how I feel? This is my short version, but just curious on why people divorce and remarry and can't let go after years apart and the psychology behind this. Berto, what do you think?
Did I understand right? Like, they got married.
Well, let me summarize.
Oh, okay.
So they got married, they had two kids, they got divorced, they got remarried again, they divorced. She's probably around 40-ish. She was 19 when she got married and he was 27, so he's 8 years older. And she might be in love and might want to get back together with him for a third marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't say marriage, but
yeah.
You know.
Okay. Well, so I have a few thoughts. Getting together with someone at 19 is always tricky, from at least anecdotally from everyone that I've ever known, including myself, who's been in relationships at those ages. Those relationships tend to be tricky, and let alone folks that I know that got married at that age. That was a tricky times.
Implies they were together before that when she was even younger.
That's true. Although in one of my friends' case, they were only together for like a month before they decided to get married, which is crazy. But anyways, so I'm not that surprised that their first marriage...
Just an asterisk on that. Getting married at a young age, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. It raises some risks.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of people that get married early in life and do great.
Yeah. So, but I will say, I guess I'm not surprised that the first time they tried, it didn't necessarily work out. To your point, it could have, but I'm not surprised that it didn't. I am surprised that they did get married again and they divorced again. And now she's at least thinking about it. That's, I don't hear that often. I don't think I've ever heard that, actually.
Oh, I have. Yeah.
Have you?
You don't know anyone who's gotten remarried?
Remarried? Remarried, yes.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Not going for a third.
Yeah. I know someone who did that, but yeah, that's very rare.
Okay. Now, I will say, I am wondering what the delta was between the first and the second time. And then...
It was brief.
Yeah. It must have been like they tried and then it's like, no, this is still not working out.
Right.
Okay. But she sounds like...
So they
like
were married... The first marriage was long.
Yeah.
They were broken up for a little bit. The second marriage was short.
Right.
And then it's been a few years since they split up.
Okay. You know, it sounds like she's approaching this from a fairly healthy point of view, because she's looking at like, well, I'm a different person. I've grown a lot. She's accepting responsibility for things that didn't go well. And she's not necessarily being unrealistic. Like, she's not saying, like, I know he feels this way. I know it'll just work out. You know, it's more like, I think he might feel this way. You know, I think we'd.
Right.
So I would say, I would see nothing wrong with having the conversation and re-exploring it.
Yeah. So I'm going to take some liberties here, some guesses about how she developed her identity based on my experience with other people who have described similar things. My guess is that she probably really depended on him, not as a partner only, but also as a superior, as kind of like a father figure. I've seen this before, and it can look very much like a husband-wife relationship, but the inner workings of the relationship can be very father-daughter-like.
I see.
In that she was saying, I never felt like he needed me. So they had a dynamic where, whether or not he was participating in this or not, he was the strong one and didn't need her nurturance. And she needed him to provide stability or something. You know, she was neglected and abused as a kid.
Right.
And then when she fell in love with him, it probably felt very safe in a way that she hadn't had before. And she, you know, she was young. She was in her late teens. But she didn't really know who she was yet. And she wasn't allowed to develop a self properly because of her mistreatment. And she felt as though she needed to be on her own in order to develop a self.
Right.
Which I've definitely heard from people before. I think that people can develop a sense of self within the marriage. There's nothing barring someone from exploring the self while being married. But a lot of people will say, I need to break up in order to really search for myself. Any thoughts on that, Bruno?
I think that there's something to be said about being on your own for some amount of time. So not leaving one relationship and jumping right into another, but I actually mean like living by yourself. There was a period of time where I lived by myself and I discovered things about myself. I discovered many things that I was highly dependent on other people for, that until I lived by myself, I was like, oh, like little stupid things like, I don't have any bowls. What do I do? And like, I literally had to have a friend come over and be like, take me. We went to like Safeway or some store and we're like, right, what do I need?
Right.
You probably need some knives.
You know, so, like, so the analogy is that was a stopgap between the next time you needed something, you just went to the store yourself.
That's right.
And that this probably made you feel self-sufficient and generalizable to your entire life, that said, I can do things on my own. I'm not weak. I'm strong. I can get things done. And living on your own is a good way to do that. Having said that, like I said, people can absolutely do this in the context of a relationship. The point is that we all need to develop a self, and there are multiple ways of developing that. And you don't have to get a divorce to do that, is my point. But it is one way. The other thing you're saying is like, and this is a common cultural notion that I roll my eyes at, that I just did, which is that in between relationships or at some point in your life, you need to be alone. And I think that, sure, that can help some people, but it's not a universal truth that in order to be happy in life, you have to have bouts of being alone, or you have to have long, you know, strings of time in between relationships. There's no data, you know, that supports that. It's just a cultural notion, and so the point is developing an identity and developing a self. And there are multiple paths to that, is the point.
I guess for me, it was maybe it's just unique to me, but here's the deal. I grew up never being alone because I grew up in a house with two grandmas and a grandpa and my dad. And then I went straight from there to a house with my mom and my brother. And I went straight from there to living with roommates in college. And I went straight from there to living with girlfriends. And I went straight from there to like being alone all of a sudden. And then I realized when it happened, I was like, in fact, even before that, the first time I took a trip on my own, I went on a business trip to England, and then I stayed a few extra days and I was by myself. I started realizing that was different and I had never really done it.
Yeah.
It was really bizarre.
Well, and I appreciate your you know, saying that. I'm not quite sure, but I'm pretty sure that what you're talking about is more like independent living skills as opposed to a sense of self.
Yeah, I'm sure. And the living skills is part of it. The other one is just, it's almost just like being by yourself.
Is okay.
Thinking by yourself is okay.
Right. Yeah. Which is related, but also a separate issue than a development of the self.
Sure.
And that's often in Western white society, the same thing. They'll say like, well, in order to develop a self, you have to be alone to find yourself. But most of the world is never alone.
Yeah.
They get married as soon as, and then they just live with their parents.
Yeah.
And so are all those people completely dysfunctional? No. So the point is not necessarily to buy into the WASP nature of like, you know, being completely alone. It's more complex than that. What you're talking about is a discovery of, hey, I can do this on my own. I don't need people to pick up after me. You know, I can be independent, which is, you know, part of that, but it's not the same thing as developing a self. My estimation of you is that you were adequately parented at a young age where you developed a sense of who you were.
Yeah.
And so when you were, you know, later on in life in your adult relationships, you weren't wondering, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I find myself when this other person's personality is so dominant over mine?
That's right.
Like that, you never had that experience.
No.
So the other question she asked, which we'll finish here with, is should she entertain their love again? What do you think, Berto? You kind of already.
Yeah, I mean, I with the limited information I have, I think my bias, honestly, would be to say, I don't know, you've been down this road before and it didn't work. But as I'm listening to it, it sounds fairly healthy. Like, so what does it matter? It's just, the logistics of it are quite simple, really. You have a conversation and you start seeing where it takes you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What I will say is that I actually said to her in an email, which is, life is messy.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality. Most people would say to let it go and to not go back to that well. But take it from me, there's no easy answers to life. And real life is real messy. Trying to have a clean life, you know, with discreet, clean breaks can result in a lot of missed opportunities, frankly. Now, I'm not saying she should pursue the relationship. I'm just saying there's no way to really know the right path here. And there's nothing inherent in her story that leads me to believe that either path is dysfunctional.
Yeah, like that would be different if we're talking about a case of, I've been with this person and they're very abusive, but I think they can change. I think this time will be the one.
Right, right. Yeah. There's nothing in her story that is like that. And there's a particular romantic poetry to trying again, you know, now that she's found herself. But really, I recommended, and I told her this in the email, working with a relationally oriented therapist or maybe even a couples therapist, because couples therapists talk with a lot of people about what we call discernment, meaning like discerning whether or not you should be in a relationship or not. And so they might be able to offer some help. But really, it's just a matter of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to keep thinking about it, talking about it. It could take years to figure out. But what I find is that when people keep exploring, keep going down that path, a decision that feels good will emerge. But you have to face it. And the liminal period between asking the question and then answering it can be a long time and can be very anxiety provoking.
Sure.
Which way to go? How do I know? I don't know which one. One could be disastrous. It'll determine the rest of my life, whether I miss this opportunity or take it. You know, it's a very scary time, but it's a wonderful thing to be in, right? A wonderful opportunity for exploring yourself, further developing yourself. Who am I? What do I want? Is this functional for me? Is this the man for me? Is this the sort of relationship I want?
Plus, they could try to set a world record. Keep divorcing, keep remarrying, keep divorcing, keep remarrying.
I wonder what that record is. All right, well, that does it for that episode of Psychology in Seattle. Thanks for joining us out there. Please take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, patron. Let us know what you decide to do, ultimately. And that does it for the episode. Take care of yourself because
you deserve it.